Mr. Flaxman.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. Back in May of 2006, Mr. Jackson was driving a pickup truck on Lakeshore Drive when he was stopped by the defendant, Officer Parker. The defendant gave Mr. Jackson some tickets and allegedly, and I think that has to be accepted for the purpose of this appeal, framed Mr. Jackson for DUI. The record, for the summary judgment record, viewed in the light most favorable to plaintiff, is that Mr. Parker was a serial framer, that he would stop people for alleged motor vehicle violations and then frame them for DUI and get paid extra overtime for going to court. Mr. Jackson was found guilty at a bench trial of a motor vehicle violation and received supervision and then filed a lawsuit against Officer Parker. The defendants argue that, any claim for damages is barred by Heck, and, if there was probable cause to arrest Mr. Jackson for anything, Mr. Jackson can't complain about being framed. That's the issue on this appeal. If the case is analyzed as a false arrest case, plaintiff loses. If the case is analyzed as a false imprisonment case should go to trial. The false arrest is the initial stop on the highway by the officer.
Mr. Flaxman, as I understand the appellee's brief, they're saying that in the district court, you didn't contend that the problem was that the DUI charge kept your client in custody longer, but were presenting it in the district court as a false arrest case. Now, is that an accurate description?
Well, it's inaccurate because it wasn't me. It was my predecessor counsel. And it was
this is all institutional.
I acknowledge that. The argument was not made with the precision that it could have been made in the district court. The case was not tried where the plaintiff would have an obligation to present his theories and prove them. The case went off on summary judgment where the defendant's burden was to show that there's no way that the plaintiff can win. The analysis advanced by the defendant that was adopted by the district court is if you're stopped for a motor vehicle violation, doesn't matter if you get framed for DUI. Doesn't matter if you get held for 12 hours instead of 5 minutes. As long as you're stopped for a valid motor vehicle violation, the case is over. I think that at page 6 in the district court's opinion, the correct statement is made, but plaintiff's theory of liability is that there's a false arrest for the DUI charge, not false arrest for failing to keep in lanes. And that's not totally inaccurate, but this is false imprisonment for the DUI charge, not false arrest for failing to keep in lanes. The general rule, which sometimes is applied, is that when something is decided by the district court, it's reviewable by this court whether or not the precise legal theory had been articulated by the appellant in the court below. And we, in the reply brief, we cite the cases that apply that argument, and we ask the court to again apply that argument in this case. If there are no further questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time, if I may.
Certainly, Mr. Flaxman. Mr. Feldman.
Mr. Jackson's complaint actually was labeled false arrest. There's a one-count complaint. It says false arrest. And the complaint simply alleged in this case that Mr. Jackson had been arrested without probable cause. In his opposition to our motion for summary judgment, he didn't say anything about the duration of the confinement, how long the confinement was, how long it would have been had he not been charged with DUI. He didn't put any of that before the district court. So naturally, the district court didn't address any of that in its opinion. And it's too late in the Court of Appeals for Mr. Flaxman to now say, well, now we have a different charge that we're bringing. It's not that there, the problem is not that there was an arrest without probable cause. The problem is there was a problem with the duration of my confinement. Now, Mr. Jackson had a claim for malicious prosecution that he could have brought under state law, under Illinois state law. It's time barred now. And then he could have charged, he could have alleged that there were problems with other offenses with which he was charged. But he didn't bring that claim, and he didn't bring that claim, he didn't try to plead that claim, which would have been, I think, difficult in the district court under the Fourth Amendment. And as a result, the only issue before the district court was there probable cause for his arrest? And the district court found that there was, and actually it seemed as if he that he agreed to that this morning. And so for those reasons, the judgment of the district court should be affirmed.
Seems there are no questions. Thank you very much, Mr. Feldman. Anything further, Mr. Flaxman? Not that there's much to rebut.
I stand to politely remind the court that unlike the failure to file a notice of appeal on time or the filing of an untimely motion for post-judgment relief, these waiver rules are prudential, are not jurisdictional, and need not be applied by the court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.